Hello and welcome to season two of Two Old Dolphins Podcast. Alex, it's great to see you again.
Awesome.
I'm glad to be doing this.
Yeah, it's fun, huh? It's been a while.
It has been a while, and I haven't put a ton of thinking into it, you know, during the time that we just said, you know, it's going to be a while before we come back. But all day yesterday, all day today, I'm like getting totally jazzed up for doing this.
We kept thinking we got to get first a head coach. We got to settle in this and that. And now I think we have we know the direction of the Dolphins. We know exactly apparently what the plans are for next year and 2020, the big year. So it's a lot to talk about today.
Our last episode was recorded on New Year's Day, and I titled it New Year Brings Greer, but we didn't really know a lot of depth about him. So one of the things we'll talk about is our GMing and our new coaching staff and some of the free agent departures and a couple of the signings that we made, and then maybe a little of what, you know, what the two old guys would do if they had the GM moniker in the upcoming draft. I think I think it would be cool for us to do our next episode prior to the draft, or maybe one after draft day or after draft day, you know. But we'll talk that out.
We'll get that done.
So it's been 2.5 months since we got together. What have you been doing?
Well, this is a big year for the Sines family. First of all, my wife just had a big birthday. I can't say which birthday because she'll kill me, but there is a zero, and we've been married 30 years. So, I mean, simple math will tell you which one that was, or hopefully. But anyway,
Don't got to be a detective to figure it out.
Yeah, exactly. We also have our 30th anniversary, and I have my 40th high school reunion this year. So it's a year of a lot of things that are happening. And so personally, it's just getting off to a great start. Exciting for my wife. I did something really cool, not to put pressure on any guys out there, but I her birthday's on March the 14th. So every day I gave her a little countdown note and with a little gift. The biggest one was the Muse concert, which was a blast. I mean, that band is fantastic. But so that's what we did, you know. So we basically made a lot of fun, you know, created a very exciting time, made it fun, and you know, moving forward to a very exciting year, hopefully with our Dolphins as well. So what have you been up to?
Well, this and that. I saw some live music, which we talk about from time to time. We both love that, and not as much as I would like to, certainly, but that was fun. I also love live comedy, and I saw Louis Anderson in Rodney Dangerfield's club as a young comedian that Rodney himself introduced back when I was like 17 years old or somewhere around there. My parents took us to New York City, and we stayed, you know, in my father's company's apartment that they had there. And
is this in New York?
Yeah, in New York City. Yep.
Is Louis Anderson still kind of fat, or is he?
Oh yes.
Yeah.
A large part of his comedic routine is about just that. And so I went to see him. He was here in San Diego, and my wife and I just spent the whole evening laughing and having a great time.
That was so
funny, and it was almost like a full circle because he actually didn't repeat jokes from all the way back then, but touched on them, and they're like connected from then till now. And I don't know, I loved it. It was a great night out.
That's
so
pretty cool.
Yeah. So especially if you've seen him in the past, and you know he's touring around now, and who knows how much longer that will go on. So,
I don't know.
We loved it.
Yeah, sure. Sounds like fun. Yeah. Anything else exciting than the Quiggle household? Daughter's off to college.
Family and work. Yeah, she's been at college now a while, and she's doing well. And
good.
And it's not.
Well, I gotta say this about Brittany, my daughter. She's you know, my son's still helping us out with the company. He's our COO, doing fantastic over at US Green. But Brittany's been living up in LA. My daughter was 25, and she's oblivious to these people that she's, well, she knows who they are, but it's just the way she mentions it, so casual. She'll be like, yeah, Stevie Wonder's house, a party here. The people that she knows is like a who's who list, you know. And so it's kind of fun to you know, hear her when she calls me up and says, yeah, we were hanging out with so-and-so. The names is just, if I was a name dropper, it would be crazy. I did drop Stevie Wonder. I love him. But, I mean, some of the other names are just unreal.
You may not love them so much, but
I don't love
you
them
know
so
who
much,
they
but
are.
They're famous people. Yeah. So it's really cool. So the whole family's doing great.
My daughter's hanging out with who?
Yeah, I know. I know. But it's a really cool thing. And so anyway, so the year is really fantastic. Kicked off to a great start. Should we dive into the Dolphins here?
Yeah, it's time. Let's play How Well Do You Know Your Front Office?
Well, before we do that, I'd like to tell you what I think our new motto is.
Okay.
Losing is winning.
Losing is winning.
Mm-hmm. The more we lose, the more we're going to win the big jackpot. So losing in this particular season is winning. So it's going to be a weird year for us Dolphin fans.
It's going to be a weird year for this podcast, because if we're doing a weekly podcast following every game, woo-wee, we are going to be the two old men in the balcony.
No, but it's different because we have a plan now. You know, if we lose and we get a high draft pick, it's fantastic. If we lose in a competitive fashion, we're going to love it even more. If we win two games and it's against the Jets, I'll be in heaven.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, that's where we are today.
It is.
But we're going to talk about the draft because I have some ideas on that. And it's so funny, I called you today, obviously off the air, and we were talking, and I was telling you that I actually heard Omar Kelly say things that I really believe in.
I know, and for both of us, I think we've mentioned this in the past, that's an extreme exception. Neither one of us can really stand Omar.
No, not at all.
But once a year, the stars align, and he says something we agree with. So.
And he was right on the money. Yeah. So, you know, I don't know if we want to get into that now or later, but let's go.
Yeah. So I sent out a tweet today. Mm-hmm. If you follow us on Twitter, that's awesome. If you don't, why the hell not? Two old Dolphins. We're easy to find. It's at TDolphins, but, you know. I mentioned that we were going to be recording tonight. Mm-hmm. And I called this strategic restructuring
of our team or what?
Yes.
Okay.
I called this season the season of strategic restructuring.
Well,
first of all,
losing is
winning. Didn't want to jump on. I didn't want to be like super negative about, you know, hey, Alex and Scott are rooting for tanking, right? Because that has such a negative connotation to it. And I see so many people lashing out against like the Armandos of the world. They don't get Armando's sense of humor, I think, especially the younger people that aren't used to sarcasm. They don't know when he's playing, you know, and what they think everything that comes from a Miami Herald reporter is dead serious. And so I have the same problem with some of the younger writers because I can't tell. But with Armando, I know.
Yeah, he's being sarcastic.
Yeah.
A lot of the time.
So, So I wanted to call it something that sounded very corporate.
Strategic restructuring. I say winning. Losing,
you don't love
is
it.
Winning.
He's rolling his eyes.
To me, losing is winning. That's exactly what the season's all about.
Yeah. We need a franchise quarterback. We haven't had one in a long time. We've both talked about our philosophies.
Fritz. We got a quarterback. Hey, would it be cool
that was sarcasm.
In practice when he throws an interception to Fitzgerald?
Yes.
It'd be Fitzgerald to Fitzgerald, yeah.
Yes.
I think it was a brilliant signing of to get this get Fitzgerald. You got a quarterback that will be a good mentor.
My tweet yesterday on our behalf, mm-hmm. I try to do at least one a day, whether it's a joke or whatever, was we now have two Fitzmagics on the team. So should they celebrity death match each other to see who gets to keep the moniker? I don't know.
Yeah, Fitz perfect.
Boom, boom, boom.
I mean, Fitz perfect. This I think was a brilliant signing on so many levels. To have a quarterback that A, is a smart guy. B, he's going to make it fun. Because I mean, I looked at some numbers on this guy, and it's amazing.
I remember long ago when he was the Bills quarterback.
Look at this: the most 400 yards games last year.
I know.
Number one in the league in yards per attempt.
I will never forget the 400 plus yard passing game where they scored 3 points.
Yeah, that was a classic.
Didn't we talk about that, never happening in history before?
You never heard of that thing? I think it was against...
How is it even possible?
Was it against, like, Arizona or something?
I don't know.
Something strange?
Yeah, you can tell me, and I'll just say it's gone.
Anyway, yards per attempt, 9.6, and very impressive, yards per completion, 14.4.
I got a whole lot of who cares.
Well, you know what it is? The guy throws the ball around. We're going to have fun.
Right.
Throws the ball around. He scrambles. He has a great pocket presence.
And
he
doesn't, you know. He has an awesome beard. And he wears cool sunglasses during press conferences.
And he's a fun guy that keeps things light. And he's an intelligent guy. Not Harvard. Where did he go to school?
It's an Ivy League.
Ivy League, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, whatever.
I know
Ivy
this,
Leaguer.
But I'm not
Ivy
bringing
Leaguer,
it up.
Whatever. Yep. Ivy Leaguer. Smart guy. You know who was our last Ivy Leaguer quarterback?
Yes, Fielder.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Very good.
Jay
okay.
Fielder.
All right. Yeah. So we're both on board with this
Only
signing.
Only a slight pause there.
We're both on board with this signing here. And what's happening moving forward with the people that we have not signed? I'm concerned, you know, what I meant by that is more like players like Howard, Tonsil. I think we should wrap those guys up.
For long term. Yeah, yeah.
We should wrap them up. We need to get those. Those are two cornerstone positions. We always talk about the cornerstone positions.
I read a lot about the front office today, but I still, and there's a CFO, I think. And I'm not going to talk about all those roles when we played Know Your Front Office, because really there's a whole list of VPs and special this and that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, who cares?
Whatever.
Yeah.
No, but
I wonder who is going to be negotiating contracts.
I don't know, but so far.
Because that's important.
So far, you got to be happy with the fact that, first of all, the trade for Tannehill was brilliant.
Yeah, I saw a lot of people hating on that one.
Well, I listen, you either cut the guy.
The Twitter hate verse.
You can cut him and get zero, or you trade him and you end up buying a fourth round pick, in essence.
Yeah.
That's what we did.
Well, you know, the point that we and I made in conversation was that if we wanted to keep him, then we had to renegotiate. And if he said no, or his agent said no, we're not negotiating, then you cut him.
For those that got.
But it's so much better that we got something for him.
Yeah, we had this conversation where basically. Yep. We said, you know, the idea was that our agreement was, as long as he restructured to a sensible figure, mm-hmm. fantastic.
Now, he sent out, and I don't think I told you about this. Mm-hmm. Did I share this?
Probably not.
A tweet to Dolphins Nation that was just ultimate class.
He's a class guy. Come on. I wish him well.
I got all choked up, and I'm like, mm-hmm. God, I just wish he had been better. He was such a great person, good human being, good kid. An enormous work ethic, just full of class, mm-hmm. you know.
Okay, well, we moved on from
Let's
him
move
now.
On. Yeah.
Now he's gone, and we have Howard and Tonsil, two cornerstone positions that we need to wrap up. And I hope we do, because reality is those are the only two players that we have that on our staff right now that we have to tie up that will be tremendous down the line, and that's going to get more expensive.
Yes. Longer we wait, the probably more expensive. Yeah. The closer he gets to actually being a free agent, the more his price tag will go up because other teams will be, you know, mm-hmm. whispering in his agency.
Well, you know, I know. Price tag, we know there's the inflation.
You're not supposed to, what's it called when you meddle?
Oh, whatever.
But everyone does it anyways.
But Todd, look,
yeah.
When you look at the situation, Scott, if you look at, I think I called you Todd there for a second.
Well, I hope not.
Oh, well, Todd's a good guy.
How long have you owned me?
A couple of years.
Did I say own me?
I owned you for like 5 years, I think.
What the hell's going on
here? I don't
know,
man. We got to stop drinking.
There's no alcohol involved.
No, I know.
We should get a bottle of wine out.
It would be nice. Yeah. But the situation with the quarterback, do we want to get into that right now? I think
no.
we should. I would love to. Because, listen, we got this. We've got the cornerback. We've got the left tackle. You know, hopefully we're going to tie those guys up, Tonsil and Howard.
Yeah, we've got very little in terms of keystone players.
But
we've got a safety of the future.
But it's nice to have those two positions.
I think we have a safety of the future in Fitzpatrick.
Possibly.
I'm happy with Baker. I think
Baker looks awesome.
If he continues to grow, he's mm-hmm. going to be spectacular.
Yes.
I pointed out to you the growth of McMillan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, our running backs, we don't know yet. Yeah.
I'm okay with Drake and Bolaj. I have faith that they can be mm-hmm. good, especially
I'm sure we're gonna draft another
if we
one.
Fix our O-line sure. and, you know, the coaching play calling.
It gets a little,
better, more creative, better, you know.
Exactly.
Just better. We'll leave it at that.
So our quarterback, we wanted Tannehill, you know, to move on. And we want Tannehill the best, but mm-hmm. We had... among our group, we have people wanting Bridgewater or Taylor. And I got to tell you,
honestly, I would have been fine with either one of them if they had come in at a bargain.
Knowing what I know today, I think Bridgewater, I got no other words.
They tried to get more money out of us. They tried to negotiate a raise.
I think Bridgewater is weak ass. I mean, a guy to sign with a team as a backup when he could be a starter.
He could be a starter.
And he could fight to earn that job.
Yeah.
I'm glad he's not our quarterback.
Well, he sees the state of our offensive line right now and says, I'm going to get killed.
Well, so. Whatever. And Taylor.
Pretty much the same thing.
You know, goes to the Chargers.
As a backup.
I mean, that's to me, I'm glad they're not our quarterback. But now in this draft that's coming up, that's going back to Omar Kelly. I've been saying, If there's a good quarterback, and I looked at the list of quarterbacks, I think we have no shot at Murray.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
We may have a shot at Locke, Drew Locke.
Yep.
We may have even a shot at Dwayne Haskin.
I can't see him falling to 13, but you never know.
But if any of those two guys are available and we draft them, I'm okay with it.
As long as we keep drafting a quarterback, that's the condition.
If they're the, we never know, they might be the guy.
Well,
and next year we don't have to.
Yeah, but even as a rookie, are we gonna know if they're the guy?
You're gonna see signs.
Yeah.
I mean, like, we all know the kid up in Arizona, Rosen, that he's not. I mean, I wouldn't want him.
Doesn't protect the ball. That's his biggest weakness.
I wouldn't want him. Yet we all know Baker Mayfield to what we saw last year. Yeah. We want him.
Yeah.
So I think you could see enough from a quarterback to have an idea. You know, Watson. I mean, are you okay with Watson? Were you okay after what he did as a rookie?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, you can see a lot in a quarterback, especially in today's NFL. So my opinion is draft him, and if we have a bad year, you know, have the guy sit behind Fitzpatrick for the beginning of the year and then start him the second half of the season. And I'm really okay with that. Next year, drafting another one. I look back at the last time that this was done, and I know it didn't work out perfectly, but you know who did it? The Colts. And they drafted some crazy guy, some gambling guy, I forget his name, and then the next year they drafted Elway. Right. Now, they didn't keep him, but had they kept Elway, they had a Hall of Famer. So this is not unprecedented,
right,
of drafting the first round pick twice, quarterbacks.
Yeah.
And to me, that we have two cornerstone positions and we can lock up another one, I'm sold.
Greer's got a little rope at this point, so.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I don't know. He's got control for the first full year. This is ever. Yeah, you're not going to fire him after 1 year as a GM.
Well, he's been GM for 4 years.
Well, this is the first real year that he's on his own, right?
This is the first year he has control of overseeing all football operations. We're going to get into Greer. And if you're ready to do how well
almost,
do you know almost, your front office?
Almost, but I'm going to tell you about the quarterbacks that are available just because we're into that position. Murray, great, great, great talent. I'm not sure I love him. 5'10", 195 pounds.
Yeah, that's a problem.
Locke, 6'4", 225. Haskins, 6'2", 220. Finley, 6'4", 212. And Jones, the kid from Duke, 6'5", 215. There's some big kids out there.
6'5", yeah.
215.
That's not enough weight for that tall frame.
Well, but with Jones, I'm okay with us moving back and drafting him.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, I think it's not as great as next year. But I wouldn't put all my chips.
Yeah, okay.
Because here's the thing. Yeah. Here's the thing. We're going to have 10% chance of landing the number one pick overall.
10%.
That's basically what the odds. That's the teams that have ended up, that have been predicted to be the worst team in the NFL.
Happens 10%
of the time. 10% of the time they keep it.
Yeah. Well, you know, a couple more points. I try to make a point every day. One of the points I made is, about Vegas. I'm like, Vegas pays for people who can predict well better than any network, better than any radio station, So the people that you, better than any newspaper by far, newspaper writers don't get paid enough.
Mm-hmm.
And so they end up with people that are actually better at predicting than the people that you listen to and read on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. Much better. And so if you're going to put your faith in any predictions, look to Vegas. That's where all the money is, right? That's where the best people usually end up at that. And Vegas has us dead last.
Oh, yeah.
So.
And I think it's ridiculous, like 10,000 to one or some ridiculous numbers.
Real sports books almost never go more than 100 to 1 on the Super Bowl prediction bet.
Where are we at?
100 to 1.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So if you go online and you'll see these aggregations that say like 250 to 1 and stuff like that, they're not the real book. You know this because you're a bettor.
Not really.
You have to go to the sports book to see actually what the odds are.
I mean,
because they don't publish them. They're not allowed to.
I really don't know much about. I would never make this bet in a million years.
There's no way.
I mean, I
don't care. It's not even worth a buck.
I'd rather give it to St. Jude's Hospital and help the kids.
Yes.
Yeah, this is crazy.
You know, you put your name on the balloon at Costco or whatever.
Exactly. Yeah. That's nice.
Yeah. So, or you buy the lottery ticket. That's $2 that could win you. What is it now? 450 million or something.
That'll be more fun.
Yeah. There's a retirement I'd like to take.
Yep. If another keynote that I looked at is, I really like what this front office is doing and not spending crazy money.
Yes. It's about time. I mean, it would be such stupidity to spend crazy money right now.
It doesn't make
sense.
There's no.
If you're in rebuild, which we are, we're in rebuild, why would you spend a ton of money on free agents? You know, when you're not going to be ready to compete for 2 years at least.
Do you think Denver overpaid a little bit for their tackle?
James? Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I thought it was very funny that Juwan James is replacing Billy Turner.
Yeah, and he's the highest paid tackle, right tackle.
Is he the best right tackle in the NFL?
Not even close.
No, I can't.
He was.
Yeah.
Not that good for us. No, I'm concerned about that.
He wasn't terrible.
He wasn't that good.
Yeah. Well, our O-line always had problems. It always had like some major weakness in it.
Meanwhile, the Jets are spending $117 million in guarantee money so far this year.
Yeah, they were the team with the most cap space
They have spent it.
Of the offseason.
Yeah, they have spent it. Yeah. They better make sure that all those people that they're signing for all that money works out.
Yeah, well,
those are a lot of spending.
I can't see a crazy-eyed Taco and ever succeeding with his... His personal, he needed to be fired and have a year of sitting around. And I've said this before, doing retrospective self-examination, what went wrong? Mm-hmm. What can I do better? Because I think he probably is a smart guy, but he just went from one to the other. And now he's going to do this. He's going to do the same damn thing. I see it.
Bubble screen. It. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a joke we've been to too many times.
Yeah. Well, it is what it is. Okay. So you want to talk about the front office.
I don't know.
I don't know our front office.
So what do you know about Chris Greer?
Well, I know our front office is entirely New England Patriots except for one person.
Pretty much.
What I know.
Okay. Yes. Well, you took one of my beauties away, but I guess that's not over. Big shocker.
Well, I mean,
when I was really digging in, I was like, holy crap.
Yeah, I mean,
there's not a lot outside of the Patriots.
Which if you're going to go to the well, you might as well go into the well that's produced a lot.
That you and I have talked about, that I have made for years, you have agreed with, or you have made for years, is that to create a winning culture, you should have some experience in your leadership that knows how to win, that's done it before.
Yeah, you need
it. I've said that about head coaching selections, but... You know, sometimes you do get that young, smart guy that people believe in, then you surround him with other people that know winning cultures. Or, so I thought that Chris Greer had never been part of a winning culture before, and I was wrong.
Really?
Yes. So this is his 20th season with the Miami Dolphins. Fact number one. His responsibilities were GM, okay? But now they're overseeing all football operations. This is his fourth year as the general manager, where he oversaw, during those 4 years, the draft, college and pro personnel departments, and all scouting efforts. So the last three drafts are all Greer.
Which haven't been too bad. except for Harris, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, we know that our head coach still had influence on wherever he wanted. So
especially in free agents, I'm assuming, right?
Gotta be free agents.
We know.
I mean, there's no question.
We know he was in love with certain players, and they all sucked, except for Gore.
Okay. Prior to that, for the previous 9 years, he was the director of college scouting. So he was feeding all of the summary of our scouting of players into whoever was our GM, whether it was Fireland or Spielman or, you know, the guy that we had from Tampa Bay for a couple of years. I'm forgetting his name at the moment.
Yeah.
So he was given all the draft scouting.
Hickey.
Yeah, Hickey. Very good. Prior to that, he was a scout. He was a, they call him area scouts, right? So he has some region or some set of teams or whatever that they cover. And so I got to that point and I'm like, why would anyone believe that this guy could be successful? Right.
Okay.
There's no success in there, really. I mean, when he came in 2000, we were still winning under Wani at that point, but we were already on the downslide. So,
we passed on Drew Brees the first time.
Right. I'm not seeing the ultimate result of the you know, whether his information is good enough to build us a good team. So, but then I got farther back. Greer started his career with, in 1994, the New England Patriots.
Oh, no, it's another New England
Patriots. Another Patriot. I didn't even know this about him.
Yeah,
right?
But they sucked in 94.
So, well, okay. He joined the club on a full-time basis the following year and served as a regional scout for them until joining the Dolphins in 2000. So he was just a scout for the Patriots. But the people that he worked under are pretty famous, right? So he worked under Bill Parcells when Parcells was a Patriot. He worked under Pete Carroll when Pete Carroll was a Patriot. And then he worked under Bill Belichick before coming to the Dolphins. So he's got...
Before Belichick fired him.
He's got some pretty impressive former coaches.
But he didn't win a Super Bowl.
He's been part of. He won Super Bowls as part of the Patriots organization.
What Super Bowl?
Oh my God! You're asking me the specific question. I didn't take that note. I believe there were two.
He went to a Super Bowl. I don't think he won it. So the Patriots' first Super Bowl was when they beat the Rams.
Mm-hmm. And he was part of their organization back then. That was in
no way.
No, that was in the 2000s.
So you
you're right. He never won a Super Bowl.
There you go. That's okay. But that's him.
So
Scotty, we can't say he's been part of a winning culture. Winning culture started the minute he left. First Super Bowl 2002. Second Super Bowl 2004. Third Super Bowl 2005.
Wins. Super Bowl wins. Yeah.
Yeah, wins. I mean, Buffalo Bills. You know what I mean? So, I mean, really winning cultures is when we win. We went to two Super Bowls in the 80s. We lost both.
Right.
I mean, Dolphins in
the
70s won.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, against the Niners and against Washington.
That's what I said.
Yeah. So, I don't know. So, I'm not convinced that he's been part of a winning culture, but
all right, well.
Okay, next.
Okay. Interesting note while I was digging here. I thought that... And maybe it's just because it was a Twitter headline or I just read the headlines from Bleacher Report or something.
Mm-hmm.
When we signed Reggie McKenzie, I thought he was like assistant GM or something.
To our team?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
His title is Senior Personnel Executive.
Oh, good. Okay.
There is an assistant GM. I never heard of him before, but now that I'm digging and learning my team structure... the assistant GM's name is Marvin Allen. And there are two co-directors of player personnel, Adam Engroff and Anthony Hunt. I bet you never heard of any of them before.
No, I'm looking
up
this Marvin Allen guy.
Okay. Well, I didn't dig on Marvin Allen.
He's a wide receiver coach. But what is this?
He's the assistant GM of the
Miami
Dolphins.
He's a retired American football player who played four seasons for the New England Patriots. Oh, well.
Whoa,
shocker.
Another Patriot.
That's a shocker.
We are the Patriots South. South, assistant coach Haven.
He worked in their personnel department from 93 to 2008.
Okay. So
he was there for a while.
Let's move on.
Okay.
All right. So what head coach number is Brian Flores in Dolphins history?
I guess start doing a countdown. I don't know. Whatever. 8.
I'll give you a hint. It's more than that, and it's our best quarterback's number.
13th?
There you go.
Amazing.
Yeah. The 13th head coach in Dolphins history. It doesn't even seem possible.
We sucked because we were two coaches for all my life. It was two coaches. I never even knew who this Wilson guy was.
Yeah.
And it was all Shula. And then all of a sudden, you know, we went through four or five coaches in a blink of an eye.
Mm-hmm.
13 is a lot. Okay.
It is. So let's share some interesting facts about Brian Flores, some history, right? So he began his NFL career as a scouting assistant for?
Patriots.
The Patriots. That's right.
I know he's from the Bronx, so he's definitely a tough guy.
Yeah. He became a special teams assistant coach in 2008.
Mm-hmm.
And then an offensive assistant in 2010. And then a defensive assistant in 2011. And then the safeties coach in 2012. The linebackers coach in 2016. And in 2018, which was last year, he became the defensive play caller when Matt Patricia left. They never gave him the title.
But he's not a coordinator.
Defensive coordinator. Mm-hmm. They never gave him the title.
Yeah, we talked about
But he
that.
Called all the defensive plays. He was the defensive.
Belichick was the coordinator.
The mastermind, whatever, yeah. So, interesting.
Yeah,
so,
I like the guy. I mean, he's
the only head coach that our head coach has ever served under as a coach or employee in the NFL or college or anything is Bill Belichick. Yep.
Yeah.
So his parting gift to New England was a thing that we didn't even talk about, the Super Bowl party at your house. Man, those tacos were good. Those were the
party.
Best street tacos I've ever had at a party.
That was a hell of a party.
Everything else now, every time I go to some get together in San Diego, the cheap popular thing to get at big company parties or whatever are street tacos. And now I'll never have another taco
we set the gold standard.
The ones at your party, man.
They were the best. That lady was amazing.
My mouth is watering talking about them. Even the beans were amazing.
The rice. I don't even like the rice. It was amazing. It was really
good. Yeah, we got a little bit distracted there. Yeah, hungry. Okay. So we sat there and watched his defensive play calling. Mm-hmm. Was freaking genius. It was a beatdown of the Rams' offense. He shut them down.
He did.
And I was dumbfounded. We certainly didn't root for that to happen. I mean,
no.
Only in the sense that, you know, hey, that's our head coach making those play calls, but not in the sense that we ever wanted the Patriots to win another damn Super Bowl. Oh.
No, I thought he did a great job, and I really enjoyed watching his demeanor. You know, he seems to be in control. He's not a rah-rah guy, which we both like, the Rizzy rah-rah people. But, you know, as a head coach, he seems to be more of the demeanor of a Belichick. You know, that in control, you know, kind of like, yeah, I'm the leader.
So who's our non-Patriot coach that's a significant coach?
No idea.
Jim Caldwell.
Oh, good.
Right? Yeah. He is our assistant head coach. Mm-hmm. And quarterback's coach, which is a role he's very familiar with.
Which is the one thing that Flores is doing that that Gase never did. He never brought in this
experience.
Bring in
people with more experience than him.
To help him along.
Make decisions,
in a very difficult
give guidance.
Becoming a head coach.
Yep. Well, I'm convinced that even though we don't personally know Gase, that he was a megalomaniac.
Oh, 100%.
You know, mm-hmm. And surrounded himself with
geeks, yes,
essentially,
people.
And yes, people, and
I mean, the Dolphins failed because of so many reasons.
He was childish, and he was not a leader that we could see from our seats, right?
No,
you know, that a few people here and there have stood up for him. Well, I'm in the locker room, and I see blah blah blah, but I never saw.
No,
and the more we saw of him, the less I thought.
You know that what I think this year. I know you want to continue with your. I hope
I do.
Okay, but in a little and a look at the team, I think the team is going to play hard for Flores, because what every player in New England said, they loved him and they want to play hard for him.
And they would bleed for him and all kinds of great things, especially those defensive backs for the years that he coached the safeties.
And we got a coach that has coached up defensive backs that were rookies, non-free agents in New England to really nice level. Mm-hmm. So I think we're going to coach up quite a bit.
So Brian Flores has been part of a winning culture for a long time.
A long time. Well, so is everybody else in that team, except for Jim Caldwell.
Well, let's talk about Jim Caldwell.
Okay, who was he a part of?
So listen to the college coaching resume he has. Not head coach. Okay, these are just coaching positions, right? Iowa, Southern Illinois, Northwestern, Colorado, Louisville, Penn State, and his first head coaching job was at Wake Forest from 93 to 2000, which is a pretty long stint, right? Seven years? So his first pro coaching is when...
Detroit, right?
No. It's when Coach Dungy hired him to the Buccaneers as quarterback's coach.
Okay.
Okay. And then he went with Dungy...
To the Colts.
To the Colts. Became assistant head coach and quarterback coach, which is a familiar role, right? And then eventually head coach when Dungy retired.
So he was coaching Peyton Manning.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's good.
Then he went to the Ravens, and he was their offensive coordinator and quarterback's coach.
Okay, Harbaugh.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
And then he got the head coaching job for the Lions.
Lots of experience.
So his total pro head coaching record is a winning record. It's not spectacular. It's 62-50.
No, actually, that surprises me. I didn't know he had a winning record.
Twice as a coach, he has won a Super Bowl. Once with the Colts, once with the Ravens.
Oh, pretty nice. So again, a winning guy
that's been part of a winning team and a winning culture.
I think
we've seen what it takes.
You know, it's funny because we have everybody has hope, and even us with our structure or whatever we have now in Miami, we're hopeful that we're going to have a great season, that we're going to have a great future.
Mm-hmm.
I shouldn't say a great season, a great future, and our coaching is really what separates any coaching.
It is,
and if this coaching turns out to be what we expect it to be, we're going to win a lot of games.
So we have three more coaching critical positions, right? We were going pretty fast.
Okay.
Right? I never heard of Chad O'Shea before.
Well, that's our offensive coordinator.
That is now our offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
And I knew, of course, he came from...
New England. And the behind door number three is...
Yep. Yeah.
Okay.
So he's had an interesting career. He started his pro coaching in Houston. So right away, he went from zero to
Houston
pro.
University or?
Houston Texans.
Oh.
Okay. 1997 as wide receivers coach. And then he stayed on the team and switched positions a couple times as a tight end coach and special teams coach. And then he did then he went to college and did a 3-year stint coaching for Southern Mississippi. Then he went to the Chiefs for a couple years. Various assistant roles, like assistant special teams coach, assistant this, assistant that. And then he went to the Vikings, and he was there for a couple years in offensive assistant roles. Assistant offensive coach, not like specific, I'm the coach of this position, that sort of thing. And then, of course, he went to the Patriots and stayed there for 9 years.
Which is good.
And he was their wide receivers coach for 9 years. So this is his first offensive coordinator position ever, which is the one thing that worries me a little bit.
I'm fine with it.
Okay.
He'll make all his mistakes this year, so he'll be good.
So that'll be okay.
It's all
learn
good.
On the job, baby.
It's all good, brother.
You're a smart
it's
guy.
It's all good.
Yeah, you pick
make
it up,
mistakes.
You see the mistakes, and next and the following year,
and
when
guess what? You can try again.
Yeah,
you can try again this season.
And year three, you'll be in the Super Bowl.
Experiment
right?
all you want this year.
Yep.
Yep. fail. Okay. What is it? Fall forward. Fail forward now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So our defensive coordinator's name is Patrick Graham, and I had also never heard of him before. So I was interested to know and maybe you Dolphins fans that are still with us at this point also want to know. He coached in college at Richmond and at Notre Dame.
Okay.
Okay. And then joined the Patriots at the same time as Chad O'Shea, 2009. He was a defensive assistant, a defensive line coach, and a linebackers coach. Then, I don't know why, I wanted more time to dig, but he left the Patriots and went to the same position, essentially, but with the Giants. And he was with the Giants for 2 years as the DL coach there. And then last year, he's with the Packers as a linebackers coach. And get this, run game coordinator. What is that?
I don't know. On the defense?
Run game coordinator. I have to go ask my super knowledgeable Packers fans. I did this research too late to get that deep into it. Do I care that much? I don't know. Of course, I want to know a little bit of background about our coaches and where they've been and, you know, who they've coached and, you know, what success they've had. So Patrick Graham is also a Super Bowl winner, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Patriots.
So it sounds like we
Patriots,
you know,
Patriots, Patriots.
I think we got a good, you know, it sounds like we've put together a good coaching staff, a good experienced guys.
Guys that have known winning cultures. I think the special teams coach is maybe one of the most interesting ones.
Oh, you ready for him?
Because we're all sad. We're all sad about losing Rizzy.
Nobody can replace my boy.
Yeah.
He's my boy.
And I thought the perfect thing, and I tried to shout this out and get people's attention and whatever, I said, New England.
The Saints signed
him,
right?
The Saints signed him, and the Saints cut their head special teams coach, right?
Which was our
which was the second best special teams in the country.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I'm not talking about Westhoff. I'm talking about the guy under Westhoff. Mm-hmm. At this point.
Which is a smart guy that Westhoff highly recommends.
It would have been great if we had gone and just said, all right.
We'll get him next. We'll get him next year.
Yeah,
2020 is the year. So
All right.
We don't want a great special team.
So
coach
our new
this
special
year.
Teams coach is Danny Crossman.
Yeah,
I never heard of him before either. Maybe we should have, because for the last 5 years he was the Bills special teams coach.
Oh God, there goes the winning culture.
Yeah. So he also has no Patriots ties.
Yeah. So I don't like him. I think we got
coaching at the Coast Guard Academy.
Listen, man, that guy clearly is in there. So our
Western
teams.
Kentucky, Central Florida, Georgia Tech, Michigan State.
If I didn't know better, I think we'll be tanking a special team on purpose. How the hell? How do we get rid of a Rizzy and get this guy?
He's been with three different NFL teams, the Panthers, the Lions, and the Bills, all as special teams coaches.
Okay. Well.
Interesting fact. One more thing. About Danny Crossman.
Yeah.
He played for the London Monarchs.
Jesus Christ.
As a corner. Or as a DB.
Let me tell you.
And won the World Bowl and the MVP of the World Bowl.
Okay, I'll be totally honest.
Did you ever watch the World Bowl?
Never in my life.
Neither
I never
did I.
will. The fact is, this guy is a giant weak link, and it might be that we just don't want to see our special team do well this year. So, okay. Well, I think on our coaching staff, most of all, except for this gentleman, really, man, and hopefully he does well. I mean,
yeah.
You know, but listen, I mean, it doesn't sound that impressive to me, but let's move on to the draft. This is it. Now, this is our last show before the draft. Let's quickly hit the
hold
draft.
On.
No.
Free agency is now.
Guy. Oh, okay.
No, I'm done with the coaching staff.
Oh, good.
I'm not going to do any other position coaches or anything like that.
Thank God.
Just the central positions that are key to the three aspects, offense, defense, and special teams, right? Those are your key three.
Okay,
aspects.
So if you look at this, the free agency, we have
departures.
The departures have been great. So
Gore.
Gore, I love him. Thank you. I'm a UMer. I love the way he ran. Tenacity. Too old for our team right now in a rebuilding. I don't want to see him get killed behind our offensive line. Glad. Yeah. Thank you and move on.
Yeah, but he's going to the Bills.
Yeah. Wake, we definitely a stud, 10 years of great service. But what they paid for him, there's no way we
there's nowhere paid him. There's no one else that I would that's left in recent years at all that I would say want to say thank you so much to as him.
Wake's an awesome guy, and
a steal out of the Canadian Football League. Just great a tenacity. Stud with us forever.
Great team player.
I haven't had the heart, but my lock screen on my cell phone has been of Cameron Wake just looking like an animal for at least 5 years. I think it predated the phone I'm holding in my hand. So,
it's a shame, but I agree with them. Another one that we tend to forget about was Amendola.
No, he's on my list. Oh. I was going to say it, but you beat me to it.
Well, I wish him well. Too bad that his coach is not going to be able to coach him, the New England coach. But to me, Amendola was our best receiver for what it's worth. But, I mean, and I don't think he's a special player.
Yeah. I'm not sure he was ever a special player. He was decent, good, whatever.
Whatever.
Injury prone throughout his career.
Yeah,
missed a lot of time, even with the Patriots.
I'm glad we let him walk. And then
the Rams.
And then we got James, right?
Juwan James.
Yeah.
So we don't have a right tackle now.
Well, that's fine. There's a giant hole there. But we weren't going to pay him what they paid him.
That's the only part of the whole losing him I agree with. Right, yeah,
it's we can't overpay.
We should have kept him, or we should have tried to keep him, which I believe we did.
I believe we did too.
But when the price went that high, can't.
But this is the problem with the Dolphins. If you really plan to keep him, you should have signed him before it got to this stage.
Yeah, but think about who would have signed him.
Well, yeah.
You want Tannenbaum signing him for some stupid contract that's going to kill us for 10 years?
Well, that's been the problem. I mean, we're still paying for Sue. I mean, this is
again. Yeah. Tannenbaum destroyed the Jets. And left them bleeding for years, and we hired him.
So let's move to
the same damn thing to us.
So in the free agency, we've been doing some signing, and
did we? I mean, I guess we talked about Tannehill's departure already.
Well, Tanny's
that's a big one.
Good luck, yeah. Good luck, Tanny, and we did lose him, or we traded him. So now we do have a because of James, we're going to probably pick up a third.
Yeah, everyone still anticipates us getting rid of Quinn.
I think we will today. He was at Dallas.
Yeah, will he be playing for us or not?
No,
I think not.
No.
Yeah.
No, the Quinn will be gone, and the teams that need him the most is Dallas, by far. They have no road rushers. So Dallas, they say the Saints. I think it's going to be Dallas sooner or later. So we're probably going to end up. I predict a fifth round pick for him.
What did we pay last year? A fourth, yeah.
So I say we get a fifth, and we're gonna get a third for James, and we got a fourth for Tanny.
Right.
So that's pretty good.
Tanny was a trade. James is a free agent loss that we'll get a compensation pick for.
Yes, and then we're going to have to pay
a first round draft pick.
Now for Fitzpatrick, we're going to pay a compensation. So they say that...
Really?
Yeah. Basically, they feel it's going to be a sixth round, seventh round.
Yeah, but
round.
Isn't he considered to be the backup quarterback?
Starter.
And so it'll be a super... Why?
Well...
Who finished starting for them? Winston or him?
They're not going to hit him. Well, either way,
It
won't be a third round, fourth round, but it might be a sixth or a seventh.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's there. And then our tight end position... What a cluster. I mean,
amazing.
We got five tight ends, right?
I think more, but I'm not sure.
Well, off the top of my head, I count five.
We signed two more, right?
Yeah, we signed the kid from Miami that was playing for Oakland.
Yeah.
So we signed Walford, the local kid from the UM. And who else is the other tight end that we just signed?
The Patriots run blocking tight end.
Well, we got Derby.
Allen.
We still have Derby, right?
Allen.
And we got Allen.
Yeah. And we have our true draft picks from last year.
And we also
Smith
have...
Smith or Smythe and Gesicki.
And we also have the grandson of...
Of Jack Nicklaus. Is he still under contract, O'Leary?
Yeah, he's under contract.
Okay.
Derby's not.
Okay, so that's six that you've named.
Yeah, that's six. Well, what Derby's not
probably
under contract.
Probably more that we...
But Derby's not on the
hidden
contract.
In the back pocket or something. You know.
So this new coaching administration,
there'll really, be a lot of tight end cuts.
Yeah. So we're not going to keep five tight ends.
Six.
Or whatever. Six. We're not going to keep that. No. Or are we not going to have a fullback again this year? I don't know.
Because yeah, that's a position that's a big question mark for all teams right
well,
now.
The Patriots had
some
a fullback.
Carry them and some don't.
Patriots do.
Yeah.
And they give them the ball when it's like fourth and 1 inch, mm-hmm. and they pow over for a touchdown.
Yeah, yeah.
They do it every year.
Yeah, I remember Lusaka Polite doing that every time he touched the ball, and we would all chant, Polite, 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 and that was the only time he ever touched the ball. But he was good at it.
I think it's
a super high percentage.
At one point, he was like, you know, like 90-some percent in his conversion. Uh-huh. Well, he was 100% for a long time in the season. Anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that the tight end is going to be an interesting position going forward. And this is a draft, talking about this draft, it's going to be a draft that has a lot of potential at defensive line.
Good.
Ends and tackles.
Then let's hit it.
So if we stick at 13 and no quarterbacks available, that's what I think we should be drafting. Or yeah. if somebody's really going to want to move up, we can move down and get more picks for hopefully
yeah,
next year.
Yeah, that's why I'm – yeah. Okay. So I just on a whim on a question from some of our tech circle buddies because they know – I'm doing more looking into this than they're doing. We started talking about the draft, and so I said, okay, I'm going to take a sample size of known people who are at least known at doing the mock drafts, right? So I did five. Mm-hmm. I didn't write down which ones were which, and I didn't even go into details about – I read all the players, and I didn't write them down, so I've, like, forgotten the names at this point. I need to take better notes if I really want to entertain that way. But every single one of the five major ones I looked at had us picking a different player and a different position at 13. One had quarterback, and that was, I do remember that one. That was Locke. One had mm-hmm. us picking Locke.
Which I like him.
Okay. One had a wide receiver, and I can't remember the guy's name, but they said he's built like a superhero. I remember that line. Hmm. And I was like thinking, wide receiver, what? So one had us taking an offensive tackle, which is obviously the direct replacement of Juwan James. Mm-hmm. And the guy's name also was Juwan. I do remember that. I don't remember his last name. Mm-hmm. This is terrible. Are you listening to this? I don't remember anything. Defensive line and a defensive tackle and a defensive end. Those were the five that I saw. So every single one was a different position.
Yeah.
You and I have talked about this already, but we haven't shared it.
Mm-hmm.
We came, I'm just going to say this because we started to get into argument about who said it first.
Mm.
We came to the same conclusion at the same time out
Fair
of
enough.
Fairness.
Fair enough.
If I am the GM, the first thing I'm looking at this year is if I can get value by trading down. Especially
yes. Jimmy Johnson.
If I can trade with one of the teams that I anticipate to be a lower quality team and get a first round draft pick out
of the Giants
next year, right?
You think the Giants will trade with us?
We'll give you. I know we're going to compete with them to be the worst team in the league.
God.
So I'm.
I don't want.
Sure
I don't want Cleveland's pick. I'll tell
no,
you that.
I don't either. Nope. But I'll take Arizona's.
I'll take Arizona.
I don't believe in the Raiders.
The Raiders are going to be pathetic.
So there's other teams I'd be happy to get not a first-round pick this year, to get their next year's first-round draft pick. Because that's when we need to really solidify things. So if we have to move up in the draft, then we move up by giving up two.
I agree. I agree. Moving down makes a lot of sense. But I got to tell you this on Antonio Brown. I think he's going to quit halfway through the season.
Oh, I just see that Raiders roster catching fire. It just being a dumpster fire bus with no wheels
that
going over the cliff.
So funny. That whole team
is going
is hysterical.
To be a disaster. A bunch of egotistical old ex-superstars, just implosion ready.
It's unbelievable. Yeah. That whole thing is going to blow up.
Chucky has lost it.
Yeah, that's I got to agree with you on that. And now back to trading down. Yes, I would do that. In a heartbeat, I would trade down. I would also contemplate, depending on the team, trading one of our cornerstone players. I said we should tie them up.
Yes.
But if I get the right offer, a guy like Howard, I would have to trade.
I don't like it.
I don't like it
because your one corner
a
is a cornerstone position.
Yeah, but the number one is quarterback.
Right, but we're in position to already get that next year.
And listen, I want to talk about the quarterback real quick one more time. We talked about this before, but the reason I say grab that quarterback this year, I gave you the percentage of 10% of the thing that's predicted. Okay, there's no guarantee.
I'm not arguing against it either.
There's no guarantee that we're going to get Tua or,
Sure.
We don't know what's going to happen next year, right? We don't know if this team, we cannot tell Flores to tank.
The best we can do is set ourselves up for success in the future.
Yes, right. And if we get that quarterback, and if we think.
And I've always been for the philosophy, keep drafting quarterbacks until you have three good ones on your roster.
But I'm telling you, for the first
time. And when one of them ends up being a superstar, then you have trade value in the other two.
Rarely would a guy tell you, I'm willing to take a number one pick this year and a number one pick next year on a quarter. I need to have that cornerstone quarterback.
Yeah, yeah.
That franchise quarterback.
I agree.
And so to us, when Omar Kelly said that today, I couldn't believe it. I was like, oh my God.
This is the first time I've agreed with you in 10 years.
Not only the first time, probably ever, but it was what I was going to say tonight, because I think that's really where Miami needs to go. And that's where all Dolphin fans, we should be comfortable that our team is committed to getting that quarterback finally.
Yeah. So to me, the highest importance of every other pick is not filling some position of need, their anticipated need. It's the trenches. And it's the best available pick at the time that we're picking, or trade down to get more picks, and grabbing defensive tackles, defensive ends, offensive linemen. We have to anticipate bringing a young guy into a situation this year, next year, the following year, and having the ability to protect him and not get him killed from day one.
Well, not that Greer is that, but we have a bunch of guys from New England who built a team with an offensive line, never with high picks.
That's right. Yep.
And last time I checked,
yeah, I'm not saying you have to spend a first round draft pick on a guard or something.
Nor a second round.
Yeah.
You can get those guys in the third, fourth, and fifth round.
But you have to be able to identify those guys, which the Miami Dolphins have not been good at doing for as long as Greer has been with us.
That's a common denominator.
A lot of Billy Turners.
That's a common denominator.
Yeah, so that worries me.
So when's our next podcast, Scotty? What do you think?
When's the draft?
Right before the draft?
Yeah.
Or maybe the day of the draft.
Or...
Because
we can watch the draft, and
the draft is only the first round, really. The first, then it goes the second day.
It's 4 days long, yeah. So
yeah, it's really drawn out.
Yeah,
and the draft is coming to LA, right?
Is that this year?
Next year, I believe.
No, next year we're going to Vegas. We already agreed on that.
It's Vegas, right?
Next year is Vegas.
That's
where we are going. We'll podcast to you from Vegas. I swear. I already warned my wife. I'm like, not this year, but next year for the NFL draft, Alex
history.
And I are going.
We're going to Vegas, and we're going
it's
to
in
do,
Vegas.
And it'll be a lot of fun. That'll be great. Well, okay. It's been fun.
Yeah. Love this. Don't think I'm going to love the season, but,
The season's going to be challenging.
If you hang on to the belief and we see things, happening in our strategic plan.
Losing is winning.
Set the future up. Then
Scott, it's like working out, man. Your body goes through a lot of pain before it gets in shape. That's what Miami's going through, and we need to get in shape.
Yep.
There we go.
All right, man. Good night.
The Two Old Dolphins would like to thank Tartanic for the use of their music. Both songs that we use as bumpers are from their latest album, Uncharted, which you can get off their website or iTunes or, I'm sure, many other places. Check them out.
Thank you for listening to Two Old Doll Fans. Join us next week for more news, analysis, and old guy stories. Good night.